This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. We begin today with a look at the jobs of journalists around the world. 6 days have passed since Jamal Khashoggi was last seen alive. The veteran Saudi journalist disappeared after entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. Turkish officials claim he was murdered by a 15-member Saudi team. The Saudis deny that as baseless allegations. Also, in Bulgaria, the rape and murder of a 30-year-old TV reporter named Victoria Marinova is being investigated, and there have been recent crimes against journalists in Malta and Slovakia. What do these stories say about the freedom of the press abroad? And how are these attacks resonating with journalists here at home? That's just ahead on 1A. Stay close.
Support for NPR and the following message come from U.S. Army Medicine, one of the nation's innovative medical institutions that puts healthcare professionals at the forefront of medicine. U.S. Army Medicine is an elite team pioneering new medical discoveries to make a difference in the lives of Americans. Army Medicine is your chance to push medicine further. Learn more at goarmy.com/amed.
Hey, it's Maria Hinojosa, host of NPR's Latino USA, the podcast that takes you inside the Latino conversation. Each week, we'll take you into one story that will fascinate and often surprise you. Listen to Latino USA on the NPR One app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Joining us now to discuss it from NPR in New York is Rob Mahoney, the deputy director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. Rob, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Robert, let's start with this matter of Jamal Khashoggi. Can you take us through what we know has happened and what's been alleged to have happened?
Well, what we know has happened is that he left London and went to Istanbul to get paperwork from the Saudi consulate to show that he had been divorced so that he could marry his Turkish fiancée. He walked to the consulate with her. She waited outside. He gave her his cell phone because you can't take cell phones into diplomatic missions. And she waited 11 hours, and he never came out. The whole area is surrounded with security cameras, and there's no footage of him ever leaving the consulate. That's what we know. What we have since heard is Turkish officials on the record saying that they believe that he was murdered, although the Turkish government has not said that officially. But there's a huge mystery around what exactly has happened to him inside that diplomatic mission.
On what do Turkish officials base their accusation?
Well, I don't know. They have access to security footage of people coming in and out of the country at airports and all around Istanbul. So we're waiting on them to tell us exactly what they know. But, you know, if someone walks into a diplomatic mission and doesn't come out, but there are cars, diplomatic license plate cars going in and out, it leads to all kinds of speculation. Here we are. 6 days later, there is no proof of life, and a very prominent Saudi journalist and critic of the government has gone missing with no explanation.
Yeah, tell us more about this guy, Jamal Khashoggi. We said he's a prominent journalist, but what kind of journalism is he prominent for?
Well, he worked as an editor. He edited a paper called Al-Watan in Saudi Arabia for a long time. He was very close to the government at that point. In fact, at one time, he was even an advisor to the interior minister in the previous government. So he's part of the old Saudi establishment. But when the new crown prince took over the reins of power from his father, King Salman, there came a crackdown on independent journalism and bloggers. And Jamal Khashoggi was told to get off Twitter, where he was criticizing some of the policies, and he was effectively silenced. At that point, he decided he could no longer work under those conditions, and so he exiled himself to the United States, where here he became a columnist for the Washington Post and continued to write in other publications. And in the Arab world, both in the English-speaking and Arabic-speaking scholars of the region, he was very well known and very well followed.
The current ruler of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, has gone to some pains to present Saudi Arabia as a country that is modernizing. It's allowed women to drive, for example. It's trying to make all manner of new business deals and so forth with the U.S. and other countries. Has the Saudi government responded to this?
No. They have said only that they denied that he's inside the consulate in Istanbul. they organized some kind of a sham tour for journalists where they took them in and say, look, there's no one in here. Listen, Saudi Arabia is a very, very repressive place for independent journalism. It's probably on the Committee to Protect Journalists list of the most censored countries in the world. Saudi ranks number 3 behind North Korea. It's always been difficult for independent journalists. We have 7 journalists that we know were behind bars for their work last year, and we believe that the government has continued to crack down this year and jailed probably or is holding at least another 7. So there is a atmosphere of repression, and when journalists step over some line that the Crown Prince doesn't like, they are either detained or in other ways knocked down as a warning to other journalists and bloggers not to do the same. So there's a kind of a chilling effect that's created by cracking down on individual journalists.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list. At least this is the 2015 version of the 10 most censored countries. Saudi Arabia is 3rd, North Korea is 2nd, and in first place is Eritrea. We're speaking to Rob Mahoney, the Deputy Director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. This is a story that's been on some of your minds as well. Tacoma22D tweeted, I'm absolutely horrified by the atrocity that may have been perpetrated on Mr. Khashoggi by Saudi Arabia. Is this, in part, a result of the U.S. abandoning human rights advocacy and emboldening authoritarian regimes? I pray Mr. Khashoggi is, against all odds, alive. Rob, I wonder how you would respond to that. I don't think the U.S. has really been particularly heavy on Saudi Arabia on its human rights record for an array of reasons that may have to do with oil and with our military.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Saudi Arabia is a strategic ally of the United States and of many Western European countries. It also happens to buy tens of billions of dollars of defense equipment and arms from the U.S., and is able to act as a bulwark against Iran in the region as far as the U.S. is concerned. So it's had, especially under the current administration, a pass on human rights. In fact, President Trump, if you remember that picture of him holding a Golden Globe at an exhibition last year in Saudi Arabia with the king and with the president of Egypt, where the Saudi Arabia is portraying itself as a modern and reforming nation. This year, the Crown Prince has allowed people to go to the cinema and has allowed women to drive. But all the women that campaigned for the right to drive a car have been silenced or have been jailed. In other words, the king, the Crown Prince, does not want it to be seen that he changed his mind and relaxed some of the controls because of pressure from groups of activist women. No, he wants it to be that he gave it to the country as a gift. So there is no room for meaningful political dissent or meaningful independent and critical voices, whether journalists or human rights defenders in Saudi Arabia under the new Crown Prince.
So what happens now? What's the next step in this saga that we should be keeping an eye out for?
Well, we need countries like the United States, the UK, and other countries that have influence or ties with Saudi Arabia to demand answers in this particular case for the journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Where is he? What has happened to him? You say he's not in the consulate. Well, he was last seen in your consulate. Where is he? We need Secretary of State Pompeo and others to start asking those questions, even if they're uncomfortable for our allies in the Gulf.
I just want to get to the rest of that list. I know some of you may be curious what the other 7 countries are on CPJ's list of the 10 most censored countries. Eritrea is 1st, then North Korea, then Saudi Arabia. 4th is Ethiopia, then Azerbaijan, Vietnam, Iran. 8th is China. 9th is Myanmar. And 10th is Cuba. And one of the things that you note in this list is that imprisonment is the most effective form of intimidation and harassment that's used. This would seem to be an escalation if Mr. Khashoggi has been killed as opposed to jailed.
Yes, it would be a very, very disturbing escalation because you now have extraterritorial, extrajudicial killing, if that is in fact the case. Murder of journalists is quite common in many countries. Even here on our own border in Mexico, we have numerous assassinations of journalists that have crossed organized crime, for example. But we've not seen it as a weapon of repression in many of the Middle East countries for a long time. Jailing has been the weapon of choice to silence critical journalists. So if it is true that he was killed in that consulate, that this would be a very, very disturbing escalation.
I wonder if, by way of wrapping up the conversation, you could give us a sense of kind of where press freedom stands around the globe. I mean, we mentioned 2 days ago this female journalist, Victoria Marinova, who was killed in Bulgaria. Can you give us just a better sense as Americans of what we should be thinking right now in terms of press freedom around the globe, especially because quite often we take it for granted here?
Yeah, we need to defend the values that are embodied in the First Amendment and the rule of law. And one of the ways that you do that is by making sure your own house is in order. So it's extremely disturbing to me when I see the press being undermined by the kind of corrosive rhetoric that we now get in the political debate here, where journalists are mocked, their work is belittled, and their role as the guardians of democracy is totally dismissed. So let's get our own house in order. Let's make sure that we are defending press right. freedom and the rights of the media here, and then we can work to try to improve things overseas.
And indeed, we did have that shooting this summer in Maryland at the offices of the Capital Gazette as well. Rob Mahoney, the Deputy Director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. Rob, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
That's it for now, but you can explore all of our past shows online at the1a.org. That's the word the number one, the letter a.org. If you go to the website, you'll also find a list of our favorite programs to date, information on what programs are coming up, and all the ways to contact us. And of course, you can suggest your own topics for this program. Just click Ask 1A at the top of the page. The website again, the1a.org. Until we meet again, I'm Joshua Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. This is 1A.
NPR's Code Switch tackles race and identity in America with humanity and humor. You'll laugh, you'll learn, you'll get uncomfortable. It's worth it. Find Code Switch on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.